Our scripture lesson today comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the peace of God will be with you now and always. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever lost your glasses? Yeah. I've lost them many times, but the time that stands out the most is I lost my glasses the day I was to leave on sabbatical in 2010. And they weren't the kind of loss like that. Maybe, you know, you've done that before. I have. I lost them. I sat them down somewhere, and somewhere in the midst and chaos of all the luggage, I lost them. We were literally walking out the door. I can't find my glasses. And I can't see without them. We were going out of the country, and I can't see without them. Our schedule was tight, and I was too cheap to go to one of those one-hour glasses places, and being too cheap, not being able to see, that's just a bad combination. But fortunately, I found an old pair. Had an old pair. Oh, not the most recent one, but one about 4 prescriptions ago. I don't know why I had those, but I did, and yes, my eyes changed. They had changed significantly. So it meant I could not read. I repeat, I could not read things like maps, the diagrams of the London Underground, the subway system, all the maps we had for Africa, for instance. The print was too small to read. That's okay. I had my son, Michael, who was 20 with me at the time. We were overseas, and I had to depend on him to direct us. Now, Michael, bless his heart, I love him to death. He could get lost in our church parking lot. And I have to depend on this kid to guide me through foreign countries? It also meant I couldn't see off in the distance very well, like I wanted. The spectacular mountains that were right there in front of me were all fuzzy and blurry and just seemed to have a haze around them. So here I was. I'm going on a trip of a lifetime, and I can't see very well. Now, for those of you with great vision, bless your pea-picking genetic hearts, the only thing I can relate it to is, well, it's sort of like trying to drive during one of our infamous dust storms in the valley. Ever tried to do that? Yeah. TV people like to call it a haboob. I think that's just because they like saying that word on TV. Ever try to drive in one of those dust storms? At first, you try to ignore it. Pretend it's going to go away. It'll pass. But it doesn't, and it just seems to get worse. And then you make the mistake of pushing the windshield wiper button, and the fluid gets out there, and the dust turns into mud, and it makes dry. Maybe that only happens to me, but as I was preparing my thoughts for this Sunday, I was drawn to Max Lucado's idea that there is a window in our hearts through which we see God. There's a window in our hearts where we see God. Once upon a time, that window was clear. It was clear we had the right pair of glasses on. There was no dust storm. Our view of God was crisp. We could see God. We could see God as clearly as we can see a palm tree or a tall saguaro. The glass was clean. The window pane unbroken. We knew God. We knew how God worked. We knew what God wanted us to do and be. There were no surprises, nothing unexpected. And then suddenly, we lost our glasses. Or a dust storm blew in unexpectedly and it covered everything. And we tried to wipe our eyes clean, but we couldn't see clearly. Maybe our prescription changed. Our life changed. And we didn't. Maybe it was because of something we did. Maybe it was because of something that was totally out of our control. The reality was, however, with everything blowing around us, life changed. Perhaps the dust covered your vision when you were a child and a parent walked out the door and left home forever. Maybe tears filled your eyes in adolescence when your heart broke for the first time. Maybe you made it into adulthood before you lost your glasses and lost sight of things that were really important around you. Whatever the case, your heart, your life was dusty and out of focus. Was it the pink slip? We had to lay some people off, and well, you're one of them. Was it the letter on the kitchen table? I've left, don't try to reach me. Was it the diagnosis from the doctor? I'm afraid the news is not what you wanted to hear. Was it a military chaplain standing at your door? We regret to inform you. Whatever the form, the result was the same. A cloudy, dusty, fuzzy view. Thick dust storm that blew down the halls of your heart and clogged your lungs and your arteries. And suddenly God's not so easy to see. The view had been so crisp, so clear, so beautiful, something changed. We turned to see God. God was distorted. God was hard to see through the blowing dust, the flowing tears, the heartache, the excruciating pain. But here we are still flying through the world at highway speeds with bad vision. Even though that's a terrible combination. We're surprised, we're shocked, we're puzzled. God wouldn't allow these things to happen, right? Tragedy, travesty, trauma aren't on the roadmap, were they? Had we been fooled? Had we been blind? Let me suggest, the moment that that storm hit you, your vision became a reference point for you. From then on, there was life before the pain and then life after the pain. Before the pain, oh, the view is clear. God seems so close, so near, so present. After the pain, wow, God was harder to see. God seemed a bit distant, harder to perceive. Pain distorted, changed the view. Not eclipsed it, but distorted and changed it, made it fuzzy. Maybe those words don't describe your situation. There are some people who never have to redefine, refocus their view of God. Most of us, however, have to get a new prescription filled on a regular basis. Certainly more than we want to admit or like. Most of us know what it's like to feel disappointed by God. How God didn't magically save us from certain situations or feelings. They may not be things we'd admit or say out loud, but they're there and they're oh so real. I remember a conversation in the 1980s I had with a classmate in a class in seminary. It was a different era back in the 1980s. I tell my children about the 1980s, and it's as if dinosaurs were walking around. That's not quite the case. It's close, but not quite the case. But it seemed to be a different time. The Cold War was raging, And the discussion we were having in that seminary class was about the Soviet missiles pointed at the U.S. and the U.S. missiles pointed at the Soviet Union. What kind of devastation would we be talking about? A whole city, a state, several states, a whole nation, the whole world? What would a nuclear war mean? Maybe things haven't changed so much after all. One classmate, a friend, couldn't imagine the possibility of a war like that happening. And her words echo in my head, in my heart to this day. She said, don't you think God will just reach down and grab those missiles out of the air when they shoot them at us? Note, when they shoot them at us, not when we shoot them at them. Don't you think? Sounds kind of crazy. But that's what this educated person thought, and the class quickly dismissed her. God would reach down and grab missiles, poof, they'd be gone, magically, poof, gone. But before we condemn her thinking, I think we have to acknowledge that we do that too. We think that way too. Oh, we don't like to say it out loud, but we do. We do. Most of us in our minds have a way of filling in the blank spaces of life. If God is God, then call it a divine expectation, job description, an assumption. God is supposed to. And each of us has a clear, unspoken, yet specific answer of what God should do. If God is God, well, there will never be a financial collapse in our family. God wouldn't allow that to happen. If God is God, my children will never be buried before me. If God is God, then people will treat me fairly and kindly. If God is God, my prayer to live long enough to take care of my soulmate will be answered. We don't say those things out loud too often. They're not written down on the dust covering our cars after a dust storm, and they're certainly not notarized. But I think they're real, about as real can be. They define our expectations we have of God, and they limit our vision. And when pain comes into our world, the whole wide world, when the dust starts blowing and it stings our eyes as we try to open them, these expectations go unmet. Problems can begin to surface. We look for God. We can't see God. The dust hinders our vision. And just when we think we can make out a shape or see something, the visibility gets worse, the dust gets thicker, it affects how we breathe. And now we're not sure what we see, because even the familiar mountains don't look the same. You and I aren't alone in that uncertainty. The disciples were unsure too. The early church was. The Apostle Paul fully admits that he sees only dimly in that mirror, but there'll be a time. There'll be a time when vision gets clearer. He wrote to the church at Corinth, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we're going to see face to face." My message this morning is simple. When we can't see God, trust God. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Not just some people, the ones you like, but the ones that are also kind of hard to get along with. Let your gentleness be known to everyone, for God is near. The figure you see before you is not some ghost-like figure. The voice you hear is not the wind blowing. Jesus is closer than you've ever dreamed. You know, just because we at times, have our view of God covered in dust, it doesn't mean that God's view of us is hindered or changed or distorted. Don't be afraid. Trust in God, for God is near. We have a family friend who is a pilot. And I asked him, how do you land the plane in the airport when it's covered with fog or a storm? And how do you see the airport when it's all clouded and socked in? And he simply said, you trust your instruments. They trust their instruments, their equipment. And they know the tower can see them. God can see, even though we cannot. On my sabbatical with Michael, we spent most of our time in rural Africa, but there was some time we spent in London, and we went to the Tower of London. Most folks went towards the crown jewels to see those, and I was not interested at all in seeing those. But what I was interested in seeing is the prisoners who had carved their names and the dates into the stone wall of the prison. It was very powerful. On a different wall, in a different place, during a World War II concentration camp, a prisoner carved these words, I believe in the sun, even though it doesn't shine. I believe in love, even when it isn't shown. I believe in God, even when God doesn't speak. I try to imagine the person who etched those words. I try to envision what's going on in their life, what was going on in that concentration camp. And the truth is, I probably don't want to know. But I see a skeletal hand gripping maybe a piece of glass and cutting and carving each letter. I try to imagine eyes squinting to see through the shadows as each letter was carved out. What hand could cut such conviction? What eyes could see good when everything was falling apart? There is only one answer. Eyes that chose to see the unseen. Mark it down. God knows you, loves you. God knows that we're blind as we plow our way through this earth, this life. God also knows that by living by faith and sight doesn't come real easily to us in our dusty world. What are we to do when pain crashes into our lives and we just can't see? Well, if it's my glasses that I've lost, I first ask my wife, because she's really good at finding those things for me. I remember one time she found them when I returned from Africa, and I could see again. Ever have those moments when you suddenly can see after you have your new glasses on? My friends, God is like that. God also helps us get out and, wash the dirt off our windshields of our vehicles so we can see. God comes, wipes away the tears, the dirt, the grime of our windows. God does this for me throughout the week, but especially on Sunday morning. And God will help us see what is right in front of us. What are we to do in this life? My friends, rejoice in God always. Again, I say rejoice. Trust in God. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. God is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God.